Peter chapter 3. There's so much truth in this verse. I wanted to bring out a message tonight on hope. Hope is the birthright of every Christian. If you know the Lord as your personal Savior, say amen. Listen, being a Christian isn't just you were raised in church, okay? Being a Christian isn't about just, well, my mama was a Christian, my daddy was a Christian, you know, we've always been a Christian. No. You weren't always a Christian, all right? Christians weren't always Christians. You understand? All of us were born lost. Every last one of us were born sinners, lost, condemned, on our way to hell. Otherwise, the Bible's a lie. Amen. Right. That's right. Okay, stay with me now. Stay with me. You say, I don't know that I believe that. Well, then read John 3, okay? We all started off under the wrath of God, and then we trust Jesus Christ as our personal Savior, and then we are born again. We're born of water. We're born physically. We're born in the family of Adam and likeness of Adam. But then when we trust the Lord Jesus Christ, our personal Savior, we are born again. We're born into the family of God. We're born in the likeness of Christ. We died with Christ. We are buried with Christ. But then we rose again with Christ. We all of that is appropriated to us. He became sin who knew no sin, that we might become the righteousness of God. All of our sin was laid upon Christ at Calvary. And the moment I trusted Jesus Christ as my personal Savior, I made that choice to trust Him. All of His righteousness was credited to my account. Romans chapter 3 and verse 22. The Bible says, even the righteousness of Christ, which is by faith. Did you see that? Well, you're all looking at me like you have never heard that verse before. Look at it. Romans chapter 3 and verse 22. This is one of those verses you need to memorize. You need to meditate on. There's so much truth in this verse. It's packed. It's pregnant with meaning. Romans 3:22. You know 3:23, for all have sinned and come short of the glory of God. But 22 says, even the righteousness of God. That's good stuff. That's the best stuff. There's no better righteousness than God's righteousness. Even the righteousness of God, which is by faith of Jesus Christ unto all and upon all them that believe, for there is no difference. At the moment you trusted Christ as your Savior, all of the righteousness of Jesus Christ was credited to you. All of your sin and wickedness was laid upon Christ at Calvary. See, to be saved, listen, to go to heaven, there takes three votes. Number one, God voted yes, the devil voted no, and you're the tiebreaker. All right? It's your choice, all right? And this whole foolishness about Reformed theology, this foolishness about well, you know, God chose some to go to heaven and God chose some to go to hell, that's garbage. It's whosoever, that's anybody. He left the choice up to us. Jesus said, if I be lifted up, I will draw all men, not just those that are going to get saved, but all men. He'll draw everyone. You need to know this, because when you PCS to your next duty station, there's a lot of good-looking churches out there that have all this fancy $20 words in their theological statements. But it's just Calvinism repackaged. It's garbage, all right? God makes you and I choose. Now, He's already chosen. He wants everybody to get saved. But it's up to us to choose. Okay? He said, whosoever will may come. So the choice is ours. But at that moment you choose. At that moment on October 9th, 1990, at 9 o'clock at 706 North Fulton Street, Lakin, Illinois, apartment B on the south bedroom on gold shag carpet, I had to humble my heart and admit I was a sinner and repent, which meant I had to turn from my sin and turn unto God and stop relying on my good works and my religiosity and all these rites and ceremonies I had when I was younger and give up on all that and take the witness stand against my own soul and testify that I was a sinner and that God was right and that I was wrong and that I needed Jesus and I believe that He died and rose again. And at that moment, all of His righteousness was credited to me. That's how it works. Salvation is a gift. It's not something I earn. It's what God does to you because of what God did for you on Calvary. So I look back in faith just like Abraham looked forward in faith. I look back in faith to the one who bore my sin, just like Isaac looked forward to the one that would bear his sin. I look back in faith with the same kind of faith and the same kind of trust that David looked forward to. When Moses said, God will raise up from among your brethren a prophet like me, he was looking forward to the one that would come. Every time they did the Passover lamb, that lamb was a picture of Jesus Christ. We're going to be teaching on that here in the coming weeks. And that Passover lamb was a picture of Jesus. So that's why it had to be spotless. Because it pictured the spotless Son of God, the sinless Son of God. Okay? Now, in 1 Peter 3, we have something that the lost world doesn't have, and it is ours because we're born-again believers. It's ours to have. Look at this, 1 Peter 3 and verse 15. But sanctify the Lord God in your hearts. You know what that means. Put God first. Set him apart as holy. Set him apart as first place. Be ready to give an answer to every man that asketh you a reason of the hope. We have hope. We have hope beyond this life. One of the things that's hard for some people to understand who don't have hope is the fact that this life is not all there is. My wife brought up a very good point. When we started to have children, we realized that at the moment our children were conceived, an eternal soul, it was an eternal soul that would spend eternity somewhere. You understand that? Y'all looking like you need more caffeine. Right? Whether in heaven or in hell, they're eternal souls. They're eternal. It starts at conception. How do you know that? Well, because Jesus, John the Baptist, had the Holy Spirit from the womb. Jeremiah, God said, I knew you. Even before you were created, I knew you and I named you and I gave you a purpose. He said the same thing about John the Baptist. He said the same thing about other people in the Bible. And when you look up those references, you realize that every single baby that has been murdered in the womb, God knew their name. God had a purpose for them. They had value. They're an eternal soul. Wow, just, I'm the only one who believes that. Okay. All right, come on. Come on now. Either we're Bible Christians or we're not. Because as Christians, we have something called hope. The word hope means a confidence in a future event, a confidence with expectation of good. I like to define hope as God, is the confidence that God is going to do me good and not evil all the days of my life. Now, I left the definition of good up to God to choose. He will choose what is good for me at any moment of any day, of any moment in my life. But he will choose what he thinks is good for me. And I am confident he knows what's best. Because I'm confident in his character to fulfill his promise to do me good and not evil all the days of my life. That is my birthright as a Christian. I have hope. And when you're right, when you're faced with senseless tragedy, when you're faced with accidents, when you're faced with debilitating disease or tragedy, you think to yourself, how is it that we can face this? Because I know who sits on the throne. I know who knows tomorrow. I know who holds my tomorrow. I know he knows my name. He knows every step I take. Every move I make, that's why I ask her to sing that song. I know who my faith is in. Paul said, I know whom I have believed, and I am persuaded that he is able to keep that which I have committed unto him against that day. I know where my faith is in. It's not in me. Thank God it's not in me. It's not in the pastor. It's not in the church. It's not in fellow believers. It's in the Lord Jesus Christ, God himself, the Holy One. Who there's no variableness, no shadow of turning. He is perfect. He is holy. I have hope in him. In Psalm chapter 39 and verse 7, the Bible says, "And now, Lord, wait I for? My hope is in thee." That's where my hope's at. My hope's not in healthcare getting better. Hope's not in the pharmaceutical industry to give me a magic pill to make me lose weight and look like Arnold Schwarzenegger. Okay, right? My hope is not in manufacturing. My hope is not in technology. My hope is not in philosophy. My hope is not in economics. My hope is not in the White House or the courthouse or the schoolhouse. My hope is not in anything else. My hope is in Jesus Christ. And hope is defined as my confidence in God's character that he will fulfill his promise to do me good as he sees it all the days of my life. He'll do me good and not evil all the days of my life. Look at 1 Peter chapter 1 and verse 21. 1 Peter chapter 1. Let's do a little study on hope. 1 Peter chapter 1 and verse 21. Look what the Bible says. Who by him, look at this, who by him do believe in God that raised him up from the dead and gave him glory, that your faith and hope might be in God. The fact that, listen, I love this, that it's, but all right, look at the verse before that. But with the precious blood of Christ, look at this, I am redeemed, not with corruptible things like silver and gold. My salvation is not based on things on this earth, but by the precious blood of Christ as a lamb without blemish and without spot, who verily was foreordained before the foundation of the world, but was manifest in these last times for you, who by him, who? Me, by Christ, do believe in God. I believe in him because he came, because he died. Listen, if it weren't for the Old Testament prophecies, I wouldn't believe what Jesus said. But the fact that he fulfilled everything the Old Testament said about him and that he rose again, the proof that he rose again, I believe in God that raised him up from the dead and gave him glory, that your faith and hope might be in God. That's where my hope's at. My hope's in God. God the Father. And my hope is in Christ. Take your Bible, turn to 1 Corinthians chapter 15 and verse 19. 1 Corinthians chapter 15 and verse 19. Look what the scripture says, that our hope is in Christ. 1 Corinthians chapter 15 and verse 19. The Bible reads, it says, if in this life only we have hope in Christ, we are of all men most miserable. But now is Christ risen from the dead and become the first fruits of them that slept. He was first, yes, but we're going to be after him. We'll also rise. What I love about this is the fact that as an eternal soul, this life is not all there is. When someone passes away, they're just passing on. And if they knew the Lord as their Savior, they're not lost. Nothing's lost if you know where it is. They're just with the Lord, where I'm going to be. They've just gone on ahead, and they're waiting there for me, and I will be with them. I'm a little sad that they're not with me now, but I'm going to be with them. The Bible is true. It's always been true. It's always going to be true. And so my faith and hope and trust is in God and his promises. And so it's not the people who've passed away in my life, they're not lost. They've gone on ahead. They're still alive. Actually, they're more alive now than ever before. You've heard the saying that the moment you're born, you begin to die, you know? Cells begin to die. Your body has to kind of refresh until it can't keep up anymore, and then it finally declines, and then you pass on. Well, that never happens anymore. Revelation 21 that God does away with death. I mean, there is no death anymore. There's no crying. There's no more pain. The former things are passed away. They're not in a better place. They're in the very best place, and I'm going there also. They've just gone on ahead of me. Maybe they've gone on ahead of me sooner than I'd like, but they've gone on ahead. They're not lost. I'm sad for now, but they're just ahead of me. You must understand, our hope doesn't end because of a grave or a casket. Our hope in this life doesn't end because we lost a physical ability to do this or to do that. Our hope is in Christ, not in our physical body or in our physical life. It's Christ who's our hope. Now, our hope is in the promises God gave us. Take your Bible, turn to Acts chapter 26. Verse 6 and 7, Acts 26 and verse 6 and 7. Acts chapter 26 and verse 6 and 7. Paul is standing before Agrippa, and he is relating to them that he is right, righteous, and in justified to make these assertions and claims in front of the Jewish people that he's been arrested for. Look at verse 6. And now I stand and am judged for the hope of the promise made of God unto our fathers. Okay, my hope is in the promises made by who? God. Now, there's some folks who make promises to you. They say, look, oh, gee, I promise. I'll do this for you. And they go, I promise. And you go, okay, go away. Because you don't have any faith in their character. You're like, yeah, okay, whatever. And you don't have any faith in their character, and you don't expect them to come through on it. You have zero expectation. You like to be surprised, right? You love it when they surprise you, and you're like, oh, I just didn't see this come. Oh, this is fabulous, you know. Right? And you love those videos on Facebook when they're like, oh, wow. But truthfully, we all have people in our life that make us promises all the time. But you don't have any confidence in their character at all. So you're just like, oh, okay. But in the back of your head, you're like, I guess I better take care. I'll have to take care of it myself because there's just no way that's going to happen. Right? Is it just me that has people like that in their life? Huh? Right? Is that how you think God is? See, the difference is when God doesn't do things the way we want it, we confuse God having bad character. We think he has bad character because we try to compare it to how we think it ought to be done. So thus, since he doesn't do it our way, he must have bad character. No, God knows best. God knows what is best, and he knows what's the best timing. So my hope is in God because his promises are based on his character. Some people make you promises and you're sure they're going to happen. You don't even think about it again because you're positive that's going to happen. That's God. Acts 26:6, and now I stand and am judged for the hope of the promise made of God unto our fathers, unto which promise our 12 tribes instantly serving God day and night hope to come. All the 12 tribes of Israel have been looking for this ever since they left Egypt. For which hope's sake, King Agrippa, I am accused of the Jews. And I'm sure he's standing there going, you should know this. If you grab a scroll and pull out what Moses said, you'd see that what I believe is what Moses wrote. So my hope is based on the character of God, that he's going to do what he said, and then the promises he made me. And because it's God who made these promises, it's in his character and in his desire for my good. And it's also, my hope is in his mercy. In Psalm 33:18, it says, behold, the eye of the Lord is upon them that fear him, upon them that hope in his mercy. I love the fact that Psalm, one of the Psalms says that his mercy endureth forever. I'm so glad. Why? Because when God forgives you, he's merciful and gracious, and he doesn't bring it back up again. When he forgives you, it's done. That transgression has been resolved. He doesn't bring it back up again. It's also, my hope is in the work of the Holy Ghost. You're there in Acts. Go to Romans 15 and verse 13. Look at Romans 15 and verse 13. Romans 15 and verse 13. Romans 15 and verse 13. The Bible says, now the God of all hope, the God of hope, excuse me, fill you with all joy and peace in believing. Is that why we struggle with hope and peace? It's because we don't believe? It's because we don't have our belief squarely centered upon him? Now the God of hope, because really there's no hope outside of that. I am privileged to serve families that don't have a pastor. I'm starting to find myself doing more and more funerals with people who don't even have a Christian worldview. They really just want a master of ceremonies to come in. They just want somebody with a white beard and some gray hair, a fatherly figure, to kind of come in and help them through this rough time. And because that's kind of what they're used to, but they don't want God. They don't want somebody to talk about God. And you can just see the despair, because they don't have any hope beyond the last heartbeat. Even though they don't understand that the soul goes beyond. Now, I recognize lost souls go to hell. I understand that, but there's still hope for those that are here. And while there's breath, there's life. And where there's life, there's hope, the Bible says. And as long as they're alive, there's an opportunity for them to change the course they're on. There is hope because of the one if they put their faith and trust in God. Look at it. It says Romans 15, 13, now the God of hope fill you with all joy and peace in believing. Man, if I'll just believe him, if I'll just take him at his word, now either he is or he isn't. Either he can or he can't. And if I believe he is and he can, well then, that's it. The problem comes in when I confuse his timing. And his ways with how I want it and when I want it. And my disappointment because I want to be the one who chooses. The problem is, if you've got a small 3-year-old in your life, can you understand the insanity of letting them run your life? Wait a minute, do you? You don't do that, do you? Oh my gosh, you don't, do you? You don't let the 3-year-olds run your life. Sister, you don't let your grandbabies run your life, do you? You don't, do you? Don't do that. You know why? They don't know what's best. They can't see past the end of their nose. Right? They can't. You think, well, that's nuts. I mean, I wouldn't do that. Then why don't you make them do right? Wow, got quiet again. Listen to me. For the same reason you don't let them run your life or shouldn't is the same reason why God doesn't let you run the universe. See, that's the problem. You and I lose sight of our hope and we start slipping in the area of believing. Not that we lose our salvation. It's just all of this despair and the garbage of this world starts creeping, the stinking thinking starts creeping into our mind because we confuse God's timing with us wanting to choose. And because God didn't do it our way and because God didn't do it when we wanted it done or the way we wanted it done, we stop wanting to believe, wanting to follow. Romans 15, 13, now the God of all hope fill you with all joy and peace in believing. If you'll take him at his word. Now, when you see the word that, it means for the reason of. Here's the result that's going to happen. If you'll believe, he's going to fill you with joy and peace. Why? So that you may abound in hope. So that you may abound with the confidence that God will do you good and not evil all the days of your life. How? Through the power of the Holy Spirit. The power of the Holy Ghost. For we through the Spirit wait for the hope of the righteousness by faith, Galatians 5:5 tells us. It's we through the Spirit, we're waiting for the hope of righteousness by faith. We're waiting on God to do it. It's that confident expectation that God is going to do it in his timing. And I believe I have to remind myself. I have to get up and remind myself. Do you ever have to talk yourself off the ledge? You know what I'm talking about? When you read through the book of Psalms, it's like David was up and then David was down and David was up. And it was like David was having to constantly talk himself off the ledge. You know what I mean? David was always just kind of manic. And he's like, stop. Why are you so cast down, oh my soul? He like had to talk to himself. Okay, let's take a breath. Okay, wait a minute. Why am I being so crazy? Hope thou in God. Oh, okay, wait a minute. My hope's not in Joab. My hope's not in the army. Okay, my hope's not in my 18-inch sword and my shield. And my hope's not in my horse. And my hope's not in my army. My hope's in God. Oh, okay. All right. Ooh, ooh, okay, all right. I may be in a cave. I may be on the run from Saul, but take a breath. All right. My hope's in God. All right, I'm okay. I imagine he was able to come out of the cave and talk to the soldiers and go, it's okay. I'm okay. Just needed a moment needed a Twix bar and a moment with the Lord. You know, you ever seen those commercials? Kind of, I need to take a breath, right? Because we get a little crazy when we lose sight of what our hope's in. Our confidence is in God. Now, either he is or he isn't. Either he can or he can't. Either he will or he won't. Now, I believe his character is such that he is and he can and he will because he said it and that settled it. It's just, will he do it? Now, in 2 Thessalonians chapter 2 and verse 16, we obtain hope through grace. God fills our heart. It is a supernatural enabling. It is me asking God and saying, God, please, I want to believe you for more. I want to trust you for more. And there's times when I have to say, God, I don't feel it, but I know it's true because your word says it. So God, I'm stepping out and I'm going to do it and I'm going to believe it. I'm going to say, I'm just going to believe it even though I don't feel it because your word said it and I am looking for you to do it. Listen to what it says, 2 Thessalonians 2:16. Now our Lord Jesus Christ himself and God, even our Father, which hath loved us and hath given us everlasting consolation and good hope through grace. It's you who enables me to do this. You've called me to do it. You're going to move the obstacles out of my way. But you know, the funny thing is, we want God to move the obstacles out of our way when they're way out yonder and before we get there. And God's like, we got all this space here. You can just keep trucking. I'll move it when you get there. I don't need to move it right this second. But you're like, come on, God. Do it in my timing. In Psalm 119 and verse 81, the Bible says, my soul fainteth for thy salvation, but I hope in thy word. You're there in Romans 15. Look at Romans 15 and verse 4. For whatsoever things were written aforetime were written for our learning. All the stuff that was written in this Bible, it was an example so us we could learn from their example. There's the word that. For the reason of, so the result would be that we through patience, that we would go through struggles and comfort of the scriptures might have hope. As I study the scriptures and I see what other people have gone through and how their reliance was upon God, their hope was in his character and how God took care of them. Yeah, well, Paul was beheaded, and James was run through with a sword, and another one was thrown off the top of the temple, and John the Baptist was beheaded, and God didn't deliver them. Well, yeah, he did. No one gets out of this life alive. You know, the death rate is still one per person. I don't know if you recognize that or not. Right? 100% of us will die. If Jesus doesn't come back soon, 100% of us will face physical death. Preacher, you're such a downer. No, God will give you grace. God gave me grace to face every trial so far. You know, when Stephen was standing there giving his argument in front of the Sanhedrin, they looked upon his face as if it was the face of an angel. He wasn't like this, and he wasn't like this. He just stood there with peace. Where'd he get that from? Where'd he get that from? Was he high? I'm being honest. Was he? Yeah, he got stoned later. Oh, that's terrible. That was a dad joke. That wasn't even in the script. But seriously, where did he have the peace to stand there in front of the mob as Saul of Tarsus, who wasn't saved yet, held their coats and handed the rocks out? And he stood there with peace. That was dying grace. And I'm here to tell you, brothers and sisters, when you face death, God will give you grace to make the crossing. That's the confidence I have. Now, I don't want to die tonight, but if the Lord says so, okay. But when I face death, God will give me grace. Every one of us will face death. It's a part of this journey. And our life doesn't end at death. And that's why we have to teach the next generation. It's what we've got to teach our kids. This life is not all there is. But our existence beyond this life is determined. You know, the joy and the rewards we enjoy for eternity are determined here. Whether we go to heaven or we go to hell is determined in this little patch we get here. This 70 years, this 70 years on average we have here determines whether we spend eternity with Christ in a place of full joy or whether we go to hell. All that decisions are made here before death. You don't know the time you have. And that's why you have to teach our kids to make that decision. You're not threatening them with the displeasure of a deity. You're telling them the truth. God loves you. He's holy. We're sinners. It's our fault. We sinned. Now, God said, you know what? Because I love you so much, I'll make a way for you to be forgiven and spend eternity with me in a place of the fullness of joy. I'm going to give it to you as a free gift. That's how much I love you. Here you go. Now, if you spit in his face, you made your choice. It's not his fault. Hope is in the character of God and in the promises of God that he gave us in his word. He bestows it through grace and faith. Take your Bible. You're in Romans. Look at Romans 5, 1 and 2. Look what it says in Romans 5, 1 and 2. Therefore, being justified by faith, we have peace with God through our Lord Jesus Christ. Now, before we go on, I want you to see something. We bring into our relationship with God sometimes, many times, most of the time, a lot of the times, a faulty view of God based on a picture of how our parents were. If we had an angry father, we picture God as an angry God. If we had a neglectful father, we think of God as a neglectful father in heaven. And if we had a father we couldn't please on this earth, we have a terrible tendency to look at God as somebody we can't please. And we have some very stinking thinking in our head, baggage, pre-programmed bondage we brought in to our relationship with God. He saved your soul, but he did not get a chance. He has not rewritten your brain. You've got to renew that through the reading of the Word of God and the renewing of the Holy Ghost. You understand? Daily. You got a lot of stinking thinking that's got to be rewritten. And there's a lot of stuff that God gets blamed for, a lot of things that God, that is assumed about God that really isn't true until you read the Word and you find out what his character is like. So as you look at Romans chapter 5 and verse 1, therefore being justified by faith, we have peace with God. You've trusted Christ as your Savior. You're at peace with God. He looks down at you as his child. You're his kid. And he has separated your sin from who you are. He no longer sees you as that dirty, rotten, nasty, wicked kid from down the street. No, you're his child. Now, you've behaved badly maybe right now, but he has separated that sin from you, and that is not who you are. He doesn't see you as that sin as who you are. That is not your identity. You are at peace with God because of the blood of Jesus Christ. You may not believe that because you don't feel it. Because of the garbage you brought with you into this relationship that's between your ears that needs to get rewritten by reading the Word. But you're at peace with God through our Lord Jesus Christ. By whom? By the Lord Jesus Christ also. We have access by faith. We have access to God and everything God has into this grace, this empowerment, wherein ye stand and rejoice in hope of the glory of God. One day I'm going to stand in his glory and I will be like him. I don't know what it's like. I can't give you an exact picture of what it'll be like when we stand there in heaven, but we're going to be like Christ in his resurrection body. And in verse number 4 of this same chapter, the Bible says, and patience, what do we do? Let's just read it. It says, verse 2, by whom? By Christ, right? Also, we have access by faith into this grace wherein we stand and rejoice in hope of the glory of God. And not only so, that's not all, but we glory in tribulations also. We can do that. Why? Knowing that tribulation worketh patience. God is going to give us that cheerful endurance. Why? And patience and experience. Look at this, and experience hope. All of this is going to, we know this is going to work out for our good. Because Christ brought in a better hope for us. Now, In 2 Thessalonians 2:16, hope is described as good. It says, now our Lord Jesus Christ himself and God, even our Father, which hath loved us and hath given us an everlasting consolation and good hope. Hope is described as good. It's described as lively. That means it doesn't wax and wane. It's always good. It's sure and steadfast. Hebrews chapter 6 and verse 19. It makes us glad. Proverbs 10. And it's verse number 5 of this same chapter. We're never going to be ashamed. We're never going to find ourselves holding the bag and thinking, boy, did I make a mistake. That's what it means. And hope, look, it says, and patience, experience, and experience, hope. And hope maketh not ashamed. We will never be a time when we stand there and wish we had never put our faith and trust in Christ. There's never going to be a time where we're going to regret our faith in God. Because the love of God, look at the rest of that verse, because the love of God is shed abroad in our hearts by the Holy Ghost, which is given unto us. There's never going to be a time where God is going to let you feel remorse or regret for having put your faith and trust in him. Never going to be a time. And that's how we triumph over difficulties, is through this hope. I'm able to be steadfast in the face of these difficulties and triumph. That's what Romans chapter 4 and verse 18 says. Look at it. It says, I can triumph in it. For look at it now. It says, who against hope believed in hope that he might become the father of many nations. Look at that. We triumph over our difficulties by this hope. It's an encouragement, and it allows us the ability to boldly speak and preach the truth, because I know that what I'm doing and who I'm serving, it's not in vain. It's a birthright of a Christian. But it starts and it thrives. We thrive in hope by believing God, taking him at his word, and believing his character to be such that he will always fulfill his word. That's where our faith and trust is in. And if we're struggling in this area, we got to go back to the word and believe what he said. It's because we don't know him that well. The Bible says, by faith, and your faith cometh by hearing, hearing by the word of God. The more we know him, the stronger our faith is. Take the word faith out and put confidence. The more we know him, the more confident we are in what he said he'd do, because we know him. And as we step out by faith and do what he told us to do, we see him coming through and doing what he said he would do. And as we do that, we get to know him personally even more so, not just what he said. So it's the birthright of a Christian to have hope that God is going to do us good and not evil all the days of our life. God wants everyone to have hope, and it should be abounding, because the object of our hope is not us. The object of our hope is not our goodness. The object of our hope is not our consistency or our ability to perform. It's in his ability to do what he said he would do. And the truth is, I'll let you down. Don't put your hope in me. That's why you're not supposed to. That's why the Bible doesn't say, cast your care on the preacher, for the preacher careth for you. I do care for you, but don't cast your care upon your brother in Christ. They're going to let you down. I'm going to let you down. It says, cast your care upon the Lord, because he'll never let you down. You find yourself getting angry or frustrated with other Christians and with church and disappointed in things. Why? Because you're getting your care on the wrong people. You got your eyes on the wrong thing. You got your eyes on the wrong persons. Because when your eyes are on Christ and what he said and his character, then it doesn't matter what other people do. It doesn't matter if people come through or people fail. It doesn't matter. My eyes are on Christ. And my hope is in him and his character. And that's why it says that our hope should not be moved. Colossians 1:23, if ye continue in the faith grounded and settled, and be not moved away from the hope of the gospel which ye have heard, and which was preached unto every creature which is under heaven. We're not going to be moved. We just continue in it, knowing that God hasn't changed. It has not changed. He has not changed. So what's your faith in? What's your hope in? What is it you're hoping for? Do you believe God loves you? Where do you base that on? I base it on his word, where he says he does. Do you believe God likes you? That's a different question, isn't it? Well, he did yesterday. He did this morning. What about today, this afternoon? See, now you're still thinking it's based on your performance. He likes and loves you regardless of your performance. Do you understand? You still think it's you that your hope's in. And that's why you're not filled with joy. Our hope's in him. Your hope is in his character to fulfill his promise to do you good. Let's stand with our heads bowed and our eyes closed. Our greatest hope is his appearing in the eastern sky. Titus 2:13, looking for that blessed hope. Our hope is the glorious appearing of the great God and our Savior Jesus Christ. He is coming. And the truth is, I would like to go in the rapture. I don't want to die physically. I'd like to go in the rapture. That'd be fun. I've got a lot of friends that are in the funeral business. I'd like to deny them the privilege of embalming me. I'd like to go in the rapture. That's where my hope's in. But if not, my hope is in the God who will give me grace to face death, to face every trial. Our Heavenly Father, this world is without hope. The medical industry, the science, the philosophy, the education, the economics, technology, it does not provide hope. It may provide entertainment and comfort, and it may provide curiosity and fascination. But it does not answer the big questions in life, nor does it bring peace to the soul of a human being. Father, we recognize the only hope in this life is in the God who loves us and created us. So tonight, God, I ask that you would point out where we are lacking in our hope and lacking in our faith. And tonight, God, let us reaffirm ourselves upon your promises and the truth of your word and the integrity of your character. Help us today, God, to realign ourselves again with you as our focus, not ourselves or our performance. And Father, let us not be led astray by the promises of this world. And Father, today there are others here today that are needing comfort because of loss and because of heartache and because of health issues. I pray, God, you would comfort them with the hope of your promises being fulfilled in their life for your glory. Father, we believe you know what's best and that you'll do what's best for us and that we trust you to define what is best at any given moment. Give us the grace to live it before you, to believe and to walk with that expectation. And Father, in so doing, that others will see it and ask where and how we could have such hope and have an opportunity to tell them about Jesus. In the next few moments, Father, I pray you would lead each person to draw closer to you. Touch each heart and soul with the area that needs to be resolved or dealt with tonight. If there's one among us, God, that is not sure heaven's their home, they've never put their faith and trust in Christ, God, give them the courage to step out, repent, and to trust Jesus Christ as their personal Savior. As the rest of us praise and is led by your Spirit, teach us now the area that we need to resolve with you tonight in Jesus' name. Amen. As Mrs. Mix begins to play, won't you take some time tonight and speak to the Lord? He wants you to have hope. It is the birthright of being a Christian, like joy is. Won't you come? Won't you pray?
Oh, how I need your Jesus, I come in all my sinfulness. You are my confidence. Jesus, I come. Jesus, I come. I will rise, stand redeemed, heaven open over me, to your name eternally. Endless glory I will bring. Oh, oh, what amazing love. We need your cleansing flood. Jesus, I come. Jesus, I come. In every broken place, you are my righteousness. Jesus, I come. Jesus, I come. I will rise, stand redeemed.
Our Father and our God, thank you that hope is something we can expect from you. Thank you, Jesus. We come to you. We give ourselves to you. And Father, now as we go to fellowship, we look to you, Father, each and every day to fulfill those promises in your timing, for your glory in all things. For it's in Jesus' name we pray. Amen. Thank you. May I look this way. Next